This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Into the 3 o'clock hour we go here on WEEI Afternoons. You are now T-minus 46 hours away from kickoff of what Tom Brady said Friday morning could be game of the year alert. And the anticipation continues to build for Patriots Bucks. We will get you all kinds of hype with the last 3 hours that we have here on our show. Your old pal Nick Fitzy-Stevens here manning the ship. Andy Hart is out on family business today. I'm here alongside Dan Ball, and joining us as he does each and every Tuesday through Friday at 3 o'clock, it's 3-time Super Bowl champ Ted Johnson. What's up, Teddy?
Hey, buddy. How you doing, Fitz?
I'm doing great, buddy. Good to see you in here today,
good
my man.
Good to be here, man. Good to be
you
here.
Fired up for a football Friday or what?
Yeah. I mean, this is the first, you know, kind of real, you know, team that the Pats have, you know, probably played since the Buffalo game. So a lot of hype around this game. I'm having a hard time totally putting my finger on it because when we talk about it more in depth at 4 o'clock. There's a lot of similarities in the teams, and it's hard to differentiate really who's a better team. But we'll try and see if we can't figure that one out at 4 o'clock. But yeah, this is the biggest game they've played since Buffalo, and you know they got to validate all these this winning streak that they're on by beating a team that is to me very very much beatable for the Patriots. So excited for that, obviously, and then. Got a Celtics game tonight, right?
That's
what I'm
right.
excited mm-hmm. about. So
Orlando Magic.
Caesar giving me a little something to get excited about. So, And then Middlebury Panthers taking on the Tufts
right.
tomorrow.
Ironic that there's no Tufts representation on the show today.
Scared, ran away.
Yeah.
He didn't want any of it. So, yeah, we'll.
That sounds about right.
Big game at the soccer field tomorrow.
Nice.
Tufts tomorrow morning. So, a lot of good stuff this weekend.
Yeah, you do. You got the game tomorrow morning. We'll sandwich in a little college football Saturday as well. Ted, real quick, before we jump into the three-point stances, I'm not sure how much you got a chance to hear of our chat with Josh McDaniels. Just any thoughts you may have had on some of his answers if you heard it. And if you're with my assessment that Josh obviously is a very smart, mature man, but he is entering that sort of elder statesman professorial phase of his work as an offensive coordinator. I'm just so impressed by each and every other Friday when we get a chance to speak to him.
Yeah, no, you know what? The thing that jumps out is that I think he loves Drake May. I think he absolutely loves coaching the kid. I think he's, it feels as if a guy who's in a position in his career that is just fine right where he's at. I think he likes working for Mike. I think he knows he's got a kid that is special that he can, you know, mold. And I think Drake, if you listen to Drake talk about Josh, I think he just basically is like, here I am. You know, I'm your blank canvas. Turn me into a great quarterback. And that's smart of him because I think Josh can take him to where he wants to go. And I think Drake can take Josh where he wants to go, which is just, I think at this point, probably just being his legacy is going to be a great offensive mind who can develop quarterbacks. That's a great legacy. It doesn't have to be you don't have to be a great head coach in the NFL to have a great legacy. You can build it other ways. And I think Josh is recognizing that In the situation he's been put in.
And it's fascinating, Fitzy, to think about the conversations we were having when McDaniels was first hired. Well, you know, he hasn't built a quarterback that plays like Drake. He hasn't he hasn't built a quarterback that's as athletic and able to escape the pocket the way he does. But maybe we should have positioned the conversation all along as Drake has never worked with an offensive coordinator that can create an environment where he can throw from the pocket the way that Josh McDaniels does. He hasn't worked with a guy who has built pocket passers at the level that McDaniels has. So when in reality we thought maybe it'd be a hole in McDaniels' game as a developer of quarterbacks, in reality it was kind of the perfect max of gunslinger who needs a little bit of discipline and disciplined OC that needs a guy that has some athleticism.
Don't you think he's got to see it as just a fun challenge?
Oh, like, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah,
hell
it's just
yes.
It's something totally different. He was helped mold the greatest quarterback of all time stylistically, very different from Drake May, who's just it's a souped up, you know, kind of sports car that he's dealing with now. And I just think, God, it's got to be fun to kind of work with a kid who's going to be executing plays that the greatest quarterback to ever play really wasn't good at, or those weren't his strengths. And so I just can't imagine him not being excited about this opportunity he's been given.
Yes, absolutely. I call it the ace, affability, commitment, and effort that he is putting in. And that's what impresses Josh so much. So we'll get into that a little bit later on in the show. Obviously, Ted's big build-up to Pats at Buccaneers coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. But since it is the 3 o'clock hour now, it's time for the three-point stance.
It's the three-point stance.
Just count to three.
That's three!
Three shall be the number thou shalt count.
Pierce for three. It's good.
Three fabulous flyers.
And the number of the counting shall be three.
Dot tip scores. Ties it 3-3.
On WEEI Afternoons.
Time for today's three-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman, Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, you got to get Glassman. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777. 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons, three hosts, each of which will present their stances on the biggest stories in Boston sports and beyond. Nick Fitzy Stevens, you will lead us off. You get 60 seconds for your opening stance, and are you ready for that?
Oh, I get to be the Kyrus Tonga. I'm the fullback on this one. I get to lead block?
Always. Always and forever.
Oh, man. What an honor and a pleasure. Okay, I'll do it.
All right, get us that first down. Here's 60 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay, so obviously so much has been made this week here, other places, in fan forums, probably on bar stools as well, about the New England Patriots, the trade deadline, and their inactivity surrounding the possibility of acquiring some depth, some other talent, maybe even some starters, whoever. And I've been thinking about it a lot. I wasn't a huge fan of it. There was some disappointment that certainly set in. And earlier today when I was reading the Ringer's trade deadline reaction, I saw one of the big losers were the non-Colts AFC contenders. And, of course, the Patriots fell into that category. And then shortly thereafter, I stumbled across via Twitter from Sports Illustrated a quote from Carly Ursay Gordon, the daughter of the late Jim Ursay, who now runs the Indianapolis Colts, who pulled the trigger on the two first-round picks for Sauce Gardner trade. And her quote about it was, "Do you want to band-aid it or fix it in the long term?" Now, I'm equally impressed by that and the fact that she's got some gumption and decided, you know what? I think I can fix an issue on this team, and it's going to cost me a lot, and that's okay. But the Colts have basically figured out who their guys are going forward, and that's good for them. I'm actually a little more okay today with the Patriots' inactivity at the trade deadline than not, because the Pats are still trying to figure out, outside of Drake May, who their guys are. So why trade for somebody and plug them in and not figure out who your long-term helpers are? It actually brought me a little comfort, surprisingly.
Did you guys hear the comments from Sauce Gardner when he got to the Indianapolis?
I haven't yet. No.
What'd he say?
We got to get that. We got to get that because it was interesting. It didn't sound like he was all that excited about going to the
really?
Colts. Really?
Yep. After playing for the New York Jets and that being his only stop in his professional career.
But after playing in a black hole in Jersey? Wow.
Yeah.
Yep. That's the thing that will surprise you. Just listen to the tonality. We'll get that audio for you. But we got to hear him talk because you're kind of like, and that's the one thing I always worry about. You know what? Let's play a little bit of it, if you don't mind. Stiz has got some. Listen to some of his comments about now being traded to the Colts. This is Sauce Gardner.
Like I said, I don't get paid to have division. They do.
Yeah.
and you know, they got one, and I got to trust them, man. I do.
But when you lose two good players like that, it's obviously going to be harder.
My emotions, like that side of it, I hate it. I hate it. You know what I'm saying? I play football. I play with my brothers. I get to know my brothers. I hate it. But you know, I'm paid to play football. No one cares if I hate it. Go catch the ball. You know what I'm saying? That's how I see it. And yeah, man, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do my job to the best of my ability so that stuff like that, they feel like they can keep us all together. Because that's the reality of this thing. You don't win games.
Wait, hold on. Where's the hallelujah, praise Jesus, and thank you, Carly Irsay Gordon, for saving me?
Not exactly running circles around the house that I thought you were going to get from that.
And that's not exactly the audio that I was looking for, but that's still a good example.
Yeah.
Like, that's a great example.
And that wasn't the exact one. I mean, there's better ones. So
I'm paid to play football. I'm paid to go catch the ball. I'll get to know my brothers, and I'm paid to play football. Yeah. It doesn't fit to give me the warm and fuzzies when I hear the term "I hate it" multiple times in my intro press conference.
Yeah, I think I'm actually super glad that the New England Patriots in no way, shape, or form entertained a trade for Ahmed Gardner. Talk about a lack of – where's the gratitude guy? Somebody else said, hey, you're languishing on this team that is in complete turmoil and turnaround. You're not going to win anytime soon. We might have a chance to go to the Super Bowl, and while you're not living in New York City, you're now living in whole milk and wind farm land. My God.
You are making the assumption that winning is the most important thing to him.
Oh,
that might be
your mistake. Not every player prioritizes winning over, you know, quality of life, where they live, where they started, you know, contracts. Usually contracts number one for guys, but winning doesn't necessarily factor into some of these guys' decisions.
Ted, how was that for you? Like, as far as, was winning always your top priority, or did you start to get comfortable in New England and thought, you know what, maybe I would take a little less to stay here and play with these guys?
Oh, I took less to stay here, so I cared about winning. I cared about winning. That's why I stayed here, is because we won. I've been on teams where I have lost. I've been on two 5-11 teams. So I just, you know, when I was asked to take a pay cut a year or two, I swallowed hard, and I decided, you know, I could go make maybe money somewhere else a little bit more, but I'd rather stay here and win and be a part of something special, which turned out to be the right decision for me.
Text line is surmising that might have been Garrett Wilson, wide receiver for the New York Jets, talking about losing Sauce Gardner.
Oh, shoot. All right.
So that makes a lot more sense why he was not exactly bright and shiny feeling that way. But
Regardless. We can all do it. We can do it. The commercial break, we can all do a lap together. That's fine. But I was going to say, like, if I'm Sauce Gardner, I'm like, yes, Miss Irsay Gordon, whatever I can do for you. Like, the guy has been put, Ted, dare I say, you want to talk about going from the poorhouse to the penthouse with that trade?
Yeah. We're going to get this audio in the next break, because you got to hear, he's not that different than Garrett Wilson. So I think when you hear that, you'll agree.
And it's we'll move ourselves along here, but it's just a commentary, Fitzy, kind of to your point on your original 3-point stance about the decision making the Colts made. They're looking at a situation where they go, am I really going to get this performance from Daniel Jones every year? Am I going to get Jonathan Taylor healthy and performing at this level for years to come? There are depreciating assets on the Colts that would make you maybe feel a little bit of the pressure. On top of we're trying to win one for Dad, which I understand, but
correct.
The Patriots just are squarely not in that situation. As much as fans want the big splashy move that makes you think they're going for a Super Bowl, realistically speaking, you just didn't have to make that kind of move given the timeline of where you're at.
Yeah, and basically, just to divine and winnow it down, I think I'm a little bit more okay with it, because you are still trying to figure out who on the long term is going to be part of the solution, not the problem. And while you're way ahead of expectations now at 7-2, a little depth would have been nice if they could have acquired some. But hey, we're going to see what these guys are made of. Like, the metal is going to be tested over all your free agents, all your recent draft picks, and the Tavais and Marcus Joneses and holdovers from previous regimes. So like they say, it's on the sweatshirt everyone wears in the locker room, Ted. We all we got, we all we need.
There you go. Fair enough. We'll move on with our three.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Point stance. I'll throw 60 seconds on the clock for myself to talk to you about the Boston Red Sox. Free agency is underway. The offseason is underway. Decision-making needs to happen for Craig Breslow and company. We talk all the time about the outfield logjam. It simply has to be solved. There's people who are surmising there could be multiple moves made in the outfield if you feel like Kyle Tucker looks good wearing the Red Sox red and blue. We talked about trade value and how Jarren Duran and Willy Abreu are likely one or both of the players that are out the door, but I'd like to pause for a moment and talk about Seydon Rafaela. He's been a good ninth hitter in his time as a Red Sox, 262 average, but you move him up in the order to eighth, he's 211. You move him to seventh, it's .180. The Red Sox have enough nine hitters in their organization to last a lifetime, but what they're missing is guys that can hit at the top of the order and in the middle of the order to get on base and drive guys in. Rafael's an elite defender. I'm not taking that away from him, but so was Jarren Duran in center field when he had his MVP caliber season a year ago. He was an 8-WAR player. That was simply better than what we got from Rafaela this season. So I'm not saying the Red Sox are going to move Seydon Rafaela this offseason, and I'm not saying that any of these players deserve to be moved, but when you combine the potential, the team-friendly contract, and trading from a strength in order to avoid a weakness, I think there may be more trade value in moving Rafaela right now after a pretty darn good year than when we talk about trading Duran or Abreu.
This is an interesting subject because I think some people feel the same way. There's other people that feel the same way you do. Then the case against not getting rid of Sedain, would be for me, was didn't he have like four games where he had walk-offs? At least three games, I know, maybe four, where he was, you know, his last at-bat was the reason they won that game. Did you see him play second base? Pretty good playing second
pretty
base.
Pretty darn good. Yeah.
But that is interesting. Mm-hmm. Like, is he just, you know, you go, God, you can, he's a gold glover, right, in center field? And then you go, well, he's a ninth hitter. And then if you move him anywhere else, he just doesn't hit. And that's, so he's just, I guess, typecasted as a ninth hitter. And you think, gosh, you can get ninth hitters to hit ninth anywhere.
Right.
And so it is an interesting kind of situation. I think they absolutely love the kid. But you know what? There is a case to be made that he could be worth something and you could improve at least the hitting. You know, even though he's had clutch hits, the overall hitting hasn't been what you'd hoped it'd be.
Right. And Fitzy, we're talking about you're moving something. You got to give up something to get something. So if you are in a position where you can acquire that difference-making middle-of-the-order bat, that number two cost-controlled starting pitcher, somebody with a name similar to Joe Ryan, and that's what it costs, I wonder if there's more weight that comes to the Rafaela name. And the one thing that I think this Red Sox team needs almost more than anything else is consistency. I need to know what players are bringing to the park every single day. And Rafaela, man, when he's good, he is a game-changing bat. But when he's cold, he's unplayable. He's not a major leaguer when he's cold. So if you can bring in a more known and consistent quantity, and that's what it costs, I at least pick up the phone on that deal.
I see. It's so funny to think like the different values each and every one of those outfielders, not named Roman Anthony, could present for you on the trade market. And we're making way for Roman. He is one of your outfielders in 2026,
right,
for the next 10 years on that great contract that he signed. So now you got two spots and three guys. So who's going to be the most valuable to another team? Is it going to be the potential MVP worthy, do everything and then some, heart, hustle, effort, and grit of Jaron Duran? Is it going to be the diet Mookie Betts that is Sadon Rafael, who unfortunately can be so streaky but oh so dynamic, and what a fielder and defensive playmaker? Or is it Willier Abreu, who is the guy that I was willing to move but also has 4 years of cost control? Each presents a unique value to another team that I think, I'd almost want to say spin the wheel and see what teams can offer you, and I'd be curious which one Red Sox fans would be most comfortable parting ways with this offseason.
Isn't Jaron Duran the oldest of the three?
He is. Yeah. He's 28. Yeah.
I don't know. That's got to factor in somehow. But I think it is an interesting, kind of topic, is which of the three, if you could only trade one, which one are you parting ways with? If, rubber gun to my head, I would say probably Jaron Duran.
Yeah.
There's highs and lows. There's just too much inconsistency.
And his skill set being as fast as, I kind of look at him like Jacoby Ellsbury. When he was healthy, he was unbelievable. Top of the order, stealing bases, wild child. But when you start to get hurt, when all of a sudden the hamstrings bark in, and instead of playing 160, you're playing 140, then 120, when you lose that explosiveness, there isn't a ton left in that kind of player. So we'll see where that one goes, but we'll leave that one there. Mm-hmm. Lots of decisions to be made for the Red Sox this offseason. Ted Johnson, are you ready?
I'm ready, man.
All right, here are 60 seconds. Go ahead.
All right, here we go, guys. All right, so how do you quantify buy-in? How do you measure buy-in? There's a couple of ways in which I think you can do it if you're the New England Patriots. One way is just by hearing things like this. Listen to Steph Diggs after this last game talking about his coach, Mike Vrabel.
What about Mike Vrabel, first game coaching for you guys?
I know, obviously, that's a guy you want to run through a wall for. He obviously was a player. I got a lot of respect for him. We all do.
Words like that will tell you that there's buy-in. And then also, we'll tell you what buy-in is about. I don't know if you guys know this, but this past, every Tuesday in the NFL is players' days off. They get one day off a week. It is Tuesdays. The Patriots had 41 players come in to work out on Tuesday. 41 players. I mean, that's more than two-thirds of your roster showed up on a day off. What are we going into? Week 10 right now? To work out. That says a whole hell of a lot. That's how you quantify buy-in. When you get that many guys that don't have to come in, that come in and work out and get better and watch film and want to do the stretching and want to see the trainer and get themselves in good shape so that they can play the games. That tells you everything you need to know. I'm comparing it to the Red Sox players when they started coming in early for games when we were doing shows out at Fenway, and all of a sudden the parking lot for the players was so much more full when I'd come into work later in the season, and it was early in the season. That showed me there was buy-in then for the Red Sox, and this is showing me that there's buy-in now for the Patriots players with their coach, Mike Vrabel.
I remember the very Friday where you came in, because it was difficult for you to get in with enough time to get settled for the 3 o'clock turnover, Ted, and you remarked that it was so hard to find a parking space, and the guys that took care of you and parked the truck and everything couldn't find a space. And you're like, what the hell's going on out here? And they're just like, oh, guys are in working out early. And that buy-in, that lightning bolt went through all of us, and that resonated and reverberated, I think, for amongst all of us, how committed that team was. And so I think it's an apt comparison that you get all these guys that could take the day off during the grind of an NFL season, and instead 41 out of 53 on the active roster are in there getting a lift in and getting treatment. That's impressive. Like they love their coach. This is literally the opposite of the Tom Jackson thing. This team loves their coach.
They do. And you know what? And it's a thing, coaches, when you feel it as a coach, it's got to be the best feel. I think Marco Sturm called his team out for not having it, and they've ripped off, six of the seven games. They won because, he called them out on it, and they heard it, and they said, let's figure this thing out, as opposed to sucking their thumbs and feeling sorry for themselves. They're doing something about it. There's – there's a lot of kind of things, you know, the Patriots, there's some growing pains, a lot of players that were cut. Mm-hmm. You got to take almost a step back to go two steps forward. And you got to go through a little bit of pain early in the season with releasing guys and making tough decisions and making calculated moves. Do you take Ramondre Stevenson out even though he's fumbled, or you keep him in there, love him up, and then hopefully get a better response from him? It's a tricky kind of thing that you're trying to do as a coach to develop this culture so that everyone is bought in. But they've done it. He's done it, and credit to him. It's I think the number one hardest thing for a coach to do is to get everybody believing in what you're selling, and it seems like the Pats players are definitely buying what Mike's selling right now.
All right, and there we have it for the three-point stance today, Friday, November 7th, 2025. I'm a little more comfortable with the Patriots' inactivity at the trade deadline because they all they got and they all that they need, and we're going to figure out who's going to be a long-term answer to some of the questions and problems presented before this season. Ted's all in on the Patriots' buy-in with 41 guys getting a lift and treatment in earlier this week. They love their coach, and they love him a lot. And Dan Ball wonders if Sadan Rafaela may be the trade chip that yields the Boston Red Sox what they need, be it a bat or a starting arm in the offseason. If you guys have thoughts or feelings, you can shoot a text or you can give us a call at 617-779-7937. And, of course, engage with us on the socials at WEEI Afternoons. After a short break, we'll connect with our guy Mike Giardi from Boston Sports Journal to pick his brain about what's going on in Tampa this Sunday and how he feels about the way that Drake May is going to handle the biggest challenge to date for him as a professional and starter for the New England Patriots.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.